one of the things that is just about universal with humans is that they all are afraid of somebody. That something or somebody or some position, fear not necessarily meaning like fear of getting beat up or something, but fear of that person can do something to you that is not to your benefit. And so it's all when the scriptures talk about not being a respecter of persons, it's a mind-blowing deal. And it is only by the work of the Holy Spirit that can you, that by which you can stop being a respecter of persons, and by which you can never again treat anybody differently than you do anybody else. But it must be repented of if you are, you know, instead of feeling like a victim. If you are afraid of someone or afraid of what they can do to you, then you have a victim mentality. And a victim, there are no victims in the body of Christ. Now, on your day-to-day life, in your day-to-day life, and in your interchange with people, whether it's your family members, whether it's anyone, it's this thing about being a respecter of persons is another one of the keys to the kingdom, because it says if you're a respecter of a person, if you give one person more obedience or more honor than you do another, then you're guilty of the whole law. So just like if you can't forgive from the heart everyone their trespasses, then God can't forgive you. So these are like unbelievably important. Issues of their you know, their tells in the cosmic poker game. Does anybody understand me? And that's why I've always taken the position that I have with regard to discipleship, is that because I intuited, and then I later found out it was confirmed in the ancient writings that was the purpose of the rabbi in the ancient church and in the first century church, was that if he could no longer put a trip on you, then no one could. And so that may help you explain why, or may help explain why some of you believe I've been a little hard on you over the years. So, anybody have any response to this?
This is how I screw up my marriages.
Oh, I know.
I make women indispensable to the continuance of my well-being, and then live in fear that they'll take that away.
But it's also,
they do.
But it's also your job. You do it. Your job. You do it in your whole life because you're still afraid of your father. I mean, I'm not being not to psychobabble, but can you conceive that it's not to be dealt with? It's to be repented of.
It's interesting, like when you're bringing up children, the whole idea would be, you know, the whole idea of at that stage having respect or whatever for parents is in order to get to the place where you can show that to everybody, like you're talking about.
Right.
You know, it's like,
because they're still under the law.
Yeah.
They're still under tutors and governors,
so
until
like
a time appointed.
Like if you show that to everybody, then you're showing it to nobody,
right,
in the sense of being respected persons.
Gary?
It made me think of how people can't sit in Bible study for years and hear preaching and hear the truth and whatever, and nothing happens. These core issues don't get dealt with. Somehow your heart is hard and your mind tricks you or whatever, and you hear the stuff, you kind of go, uh-huh, and then go about your business. And I think that's where we used to have those sessions where they were intensely focused on one individual. It's important.
Well, the problem, it's almost impossible to tell to cross over this gulf of being an observer as opposed to being one who lives. And so that aspect of being an observer is what keeps you from anything. I mean, you won't remember anything. You walk out the door and forget because you've only been an observer. And that's why being an observer is so incredibly evil in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God.
That's being a hearer.
Hmm?
That's being a hearer only.
Yeah. It's being a hearer of the word only, not a doer of the word. The doer of the word is the one who lives. The hearer of the word is the one who observes. All right. Everybody understand the premise. If you're a respecter of any, if you're a respecter of persons, you're guilty of the whole law. Jesus Christ has done you no good because you've denied his efficacy. You have denied him. He didn't deny you. Okay, so in verse 12 of chapter 3, we just to pick up where we stopped last time. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, or do of the evil one. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Now, what is the follower? What does it mean? Does that mean you define and figure out what you think is good and then follow it? No. What is it to be a follower of that which is good? What does that mean? That's not a rhetorical question.
To see that Christ is in you?
Well, that's a cliche. There is only one way that you can be a follower of that which is good, and that is to totally and completely 100% abandon yourself. The moment you take thought for or of or about yourself in any dimension, you are no longer a follower of that which is good, for you now are a follower of the evil one, of that which is evil instead of that which is good. Now, until you get this in your brain and never doubt it, you will continue living in this bungee cord spirituality. Now, that wake anybody up? You've got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that means every thought has to stand against its finished. If it doesn't agree with it is finished, then it is no thought. It's just a device, a trick, a subtlety of the evil one. But, you know, I know you. You get something in your mind, oh my God, that's good, I'm going to go with this one. The moment you do that, you've left the kingdom of God, you've gone into the kingdom of the evil one, and there's no more life. And again, you become a hearer of the word and not a doer. And you will automatically become a respecter of persons. Husbands cannot love their wives. They'll try to become tyrants instead of lovers. You won't love the brethren. You won't lay your life down unless they meet your standards. Right, the whole nine yards, because you're of the evil one instead of that which is good. All right. But if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The battle has been enjoined, by the way. Benny was the host last night on Behind the Scenes. And he had this idiot prophet with him that was prophesying over Benny and telling him all the dreams he had were of God and warning him of this day. And I mean, it was just insane. It's going to be, I just saw about the last 5 minutes of it and I almost puked. But it's all about this program that's coming up.
It's going to come up.
Yeah. They're preparing the audience, both on TBN and on Benny's show, for what's coming up. God's going to use this. I prophesy to you, Brother Hinn, that God will use, that Satan is meant to destroy you with this, but God is going to use it to increase the anointing.
They're not saying what it is. They're just saying this.
No, I think they said what it is, but I didn't get to.
Oh, really?
That's what they said. It was a program? Right, yeah.
Whoa.
So that on Sunday night there's a 2-hour special that will be their response.
On their program on TBN?
On TBN. I hope the Los Angeles Times story comes out at the same time.
Would they allow the Democrats to have an equal and response up in political?
So anyway, it's but again, hear me. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, snake. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Thank you. All right, now here's what we were going to study forever. This is what I tried to study for the last 3 or 4 days. But, as opposed to trying to be afraid of somebody, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, what does that mean? How do you sanctify the Lord in your hearts? Anybody have any thoughts?
Commanding yourself. You just heard that.
No, I was going to say that the first time.
Before Rolex said?
My brain was an injury.
Okay, what is here's remember we talked about sanctification. This salt shaker is now sanctified because it has salt in it. If I emptied the salt shaker and put something else in it, then it would not be sanctified. If
I have an idea. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What?
That the Lord is sanctified in your heart by you recognizing that He's there rather than out there somewhere.
Right.
Well put. No.
But the whole idea of sanctification is the essence of what it means to be godly. Godly is a mental attitude about sanctification vis-a-vis God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ. And it means that you have confessed, you have spoken this homologia. Remember that word means it's to say the same thing as what confess means. You have confessed, not your sins, that's child's play, but now you have confessed by your thoughts, your words, and your deeds the sanctity of God in your heart. And that can never be forgotten. And once that happens, then you will never be again afraid of anything. You won't be concerned with what somebody's response to you is. Your happiness and peace isn't judged by someone else's response to you. There's no fear that you can experience about what somebody's, if your offering isn't accepted. You know, I've made more people, I think probably at the bottom line, more people have left here because I didn't accept their offering. And that really infuriates people. Some of you know about that. I'm reminded of this phony crap where people use religiosity. You remember when what's-his-name wanted to wash my feet and I wouldn't let him? That was probably the last time that he was here. Because it was just a phony BS. It was, just like every time somebody plays Just As I Am, they walk down the aisle. It's masquerading as an angel of light instead of sanctifying the Lord in your hearts. All right.
Yeah, that's part of that never crossing over the line into the being the doer. It's always hearing and then doing a performance. Another performance.
You're constantly concerned with what somebody thinks about you, whether or not they accept you or not, or whether they accept your offering, and blah, 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 blah. All right. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That is the definition of evangelism. Be ready, not to invent a campaign, but be ready to give an answer But you can't give an answer if you're not at peace. If you're just another Gentile with a Christian label, nobody's going to ask you anything. If you're really acting nice and hugging each other three times because some preacher tells you to, nobody's going to ask you anything. Oh, what is the reason for your hope? What? Are you laughing at me, Ronnie?
No, I'm about to preach you asking to hug somebody three times.
Or three people, maybe. Or something. They do it some way. I used to get so mad when I visited churches and they would do that. I just want to smack them instead of hug them.
So hug the Norwegian nearest to you.
Well, it's just so phony. Or you go to a charismatic service, and the worship leader gets up. Okay, now everybody raise your hands. Now put them down. Everybody now stand up. Now sit down. Where in the hell did that come from?
They made it up.
It's insane.
I used to do that.
Did you tell them to stand up and sit down?
No, they used to tell me.
Oh.
I used to turn to my neighbor and say stuff, shake their head.
Didn't it make you feel a little strange? So it did make you feel a little strange. All right.
We were king of that Anglican church.
So yeah.
Standing up and
sitting up. Yeah, you're right. Anglicans are, it's the frozen chosen.
Just keep our blood circulating.
Why don't you be our worship leader, Gary? My God, if you need a worship leader, where in the hell is the Holy Spirit? What happened? What's that noise? That's the trumpet.
It reminds me of that. One of your things you like to mention is going to school as a kid and seeing some kid dressed up in a suit and tie carrying a briefcase or something.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like, what do Christians look like and what do they do and how do they worship and blah, 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 and then doing that.
Yeah, but it's interesting in these public surveys, like it doesn't apply to the Methodists or the Presbyterians or the
right.
Chosen Frozen. It applies to evangelicals, which are really the fundamentalists. They're the ones that the people have the lowest public opinion of anyone except prostitutes. Now, how is anyone going to ask them the reason for the hope that is in them? Because all people have done is acted like angels of light and followed directions. I mean, somebody's got to be able to see this.
Part of the deception is they fill up their churches and these big arenas with all kinds of people. That makes it look like they're doing something wonderful. I think if people are watching TV, I guess deception just kind of spreads.
Yeah, with the TBN has spread it worse than anything in the universe.
Yeah.
All right. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason, asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, concentrate for a moment on, first of all, the reason for the hope that is in you. Therefore, the hope is always exclusively in the Scriptures connected with the resurrection of Christ in you. That's the only hope. So therefore, you must have confirmed the testimony in order for anybody to even to be interested in it. Secondly, it's done in meekness and fear. It's the opposite of I'm right and you're wrong. It's the opposite of trying to sell somebody on God. But that's what you are called to do. You are called to be living epistles. A living example of hope. Constantly. never ending. And that's what it means. Go, as you go into your world, you will make disciples if you follow that instead of following this. Now, there's an incredible paucity of reproduction in this body. I'm not concerned about it. That's God's business. But it's probably the reason is because I haven't preached it. But it's time that you show forth the reason for your hope. It's a light shining in the dark place. Remember I said Sunday night that this is the beginning of a new thing. Everything else is gone. Everything from this point backwards is gone. It's covered in the blood. Everything forward is in the Holy Spirit. But I know that I know that I know that this scripture that we have just read must be lived 24 hours a day, whatever the environment. You never again look at people from a utilitarian standpoint.